In late August, officials from the world's governments will gather in South Africa for the Johannesburg World Summit on Sustainable Development. At least that's the plan. The last preparatory meeting for the summit recently wrapped up in Bali, Indonesia. It was meant to put the finishing touches on the summit's agenda, hammering out how to address such issues as water quality, sanitation, and clean energy. But little was resolved. John Vidal joins me now from London. He's the environment editor at the Guardian newspaper and is covering the World Summit. So, John, what happened in Bali?
Well, the thing is, what they're trying to do is to get this broad agreement before they go to Johannesburg on the need for certain things. They wanted to put down on paper government commitments over the next 5 or 10 years. But the point is, they couldn't do it. They started off with a 60-page text, and they ended up with a 100-page text. In other words, it got more complicated. Instead of resolving the issues and finding agreement between countries, it actually got worse and worse.
A number of environmental groups blamed the U.S. for what they called, quote, hijacking the meeting in Bali. What were the sticking points?
Well, now, in global realpolitik today, the U.S. is the only big player. So when things go wrong, people automatically blame the United States, for good or for bad. I don't know necessarily the answers. But certainly at Bali, they took teams of, 200-300 people. And the environment groups accused them of trying to wreck it, of trying to actually start to renegotiate the treaties which were made in Rio 10 years ago. And they would say, we're going backwards. Now, it didn't end up quite like that. But certainly the United States, backed by OECD countries, especially Canada, Australia, to a lesser extent Europe, refused really to negotiate on these key points. And they were finance and trade. And so no agreement could be made on how to finance any of these great plans which they might have. And absolutely nothing was given away at all on the trade issue.
Now, out of the Rio conference, there were a number of treaties and agreements. The Framework Convention on Climate Change, which led to the Kyoto Process, is one. There was a biodiversity treaty. There was a deforestation and a number of agreements. As I understand it, there's no intention this time to have major international treaties. But what could mean something coming out of this? I mean, for instance, what would it mean if this conference somehow dealt with the water issue question?
You see, I think we have to put all these big questions into the context of what's happening in global politics at the moment. Now, with water, we have everybody admits there is a massive problem, and it's growing, and it's going to get much, much worse. Now, already you see the United Nations and the World Bank and the individual governments going straight down the road for the privatization of water supplies and distribution around the world. And so I think that just since Rio, there's been more than 300 agreements which the World Bank has lined up with water companies. These things are going to be accelerated. You're going to see more privatization. The subtext of the rich countries, certainly, at Johannesburg will be privatization, will be the liberalization of economies, will be the opening up of markets. We're going to see this pressed over and over again, and they will be supported massively by business.
And the developing countries?
Developing countries are in a fix. I mean, they can't talk as one grouping at all. They're split, they're disorganized, and so on and so forth. Now, some countries, they'd realize that the reality of world politics today is that if you do not sign up to the big-time agendas of liberalization and whatever, then you are not going to get the aid money, because aid, as Secretary O'Neill and others have made very, very clear, and made clear at Bali, was that aid is going to be conditional on basically good governance, and good governance means signing up to the principles of opening your markets and liberalizing your economies.
What would you think would be the best possible outcome from Johannesburg? What kind of resolutions or outcomes could make it successful?
The point is, the Johannesburg meeting is historic in the sense that I think the United Nations and governments have realized they cannot do it on their own. So what you're going to see for the first time is big business really brought into the equation of how to solve the world's problems, how to focus on serious poverty in Africa or wherever it is. And so I think what we're going to see is bilateral agreements between industries and governments to, for instance, provide enormous electricity or water agreements, which will help communities in different places. So it'll be individual initiatives. It won't be the great sort of global sweep which you had before. It's going to be very much, let's bring business as a partner into this whole development issue.
Who do you think among the world leaders is going to be there?
Aha, big question. Well, it's a big story if President Bush goes. It's an even bigger story, in a way, if he doesn't go. If he doesn't go, that will be read by the rest of the world, frankly, that America doesn't care. It doesn't matter whether he sends Secretary O'Neill and dozens of other cabinet-ranking ministers. If Bush himself doesn't go, then it will be interpreted that he doesn't care. His father did go to Rio to give him his due. I think there'll be a celebration as well. I think there's going to be a very large element of the celebration of alternatives. I think the non-governmental groups and all this myriad of grassroots organisations and whatever will say, look, we don't need governments, we're just going to get on with it ourselves. And I think that we will see a sort of revivalist spirit, which happened actually after Rio as well, with people just saying, look, we can do this, and we have the knowledge, we may not have the money, but we can certainly do an awful lot. And I think that that would be one spirit where civil society may come of age and really start celebrating its own power as another force in the world today.
John Vidal is the environment editor for the Guardian newspaper based in London. Thanks for filling us in, John.
Goodbye and thank you.